Okay. Hi, you guys. I am Suki. I'm an overeater, undereater, sugar addict, and I don't enjoy being recorded, but this program saved my life, so it's the least I can do, right? So, I'm looking at the screen with all the cute pictures of dogs. I here. Oh well, she went, she left. She has a mind of her own, my dog. So there you go. Okay. So you guys taught me, you guys meaning program, I learned to share what it's like, what happened, and what it's like now. So the first thing I want to say is take what you like and leave the rest. And the reason is this program welcomes everyone, everyone. And I find that a great comfort because there's mental illness in my family. And no matter how weird I am, you guys will welcome me. And that is a great comfort to me. Also, when I first came to the program, I thought I was, I learned this term in the program, terminally unique. I'm the only one. You won't understand me. It was in a church. I'm Jewish. I'm the only. It says Deanna entered the waiting room. I admitted her. Anyway, I'm the only Jewish person ever in the program. Clearly, that's not true. I'm a lesbian. It was a gay lesbian meeting. Still, I thought I was the only lesbian who existed in the program because that's the nature of my disease. You know, I isolate and I, so if you can relate to anything I say, I hope it's helpful to someone. And if it's not, they say come to six meetings before you decide if this program's for you. So, I grew up in Texas. I had a little tiny mama and a great big daddy. And my dad was 6'4", and I don't know how much he weighed, but he loved to eat. And he had eventually had diabetes and heart disease and died of it. So this is a life and death disease for me. His mother also had heart disease and diabetes. My grandpa did too. Let's see. My experience, strength, and hope is all I know to share. And my experience, strength, and hope is this disease is physical, emotional, and spiritual. The physical, the biggest I ever got was size 16s were too tight. The smallest I ever got was my hair was falling out and I wasn't having my period. I am, my first choice is overeating, but the disease is progressive. So I started out overeating and then I learned to undereat and I didn't have my period and my hair was falling out. I was just lovely. And no matter what weird things I did with food, I saw that this program could work for me. I got to tell you a little more about what it was like. So I was the only child and my parents weren't happy people. And it was, and I'm a miracle. It was not an easy childhood. I was sexually abused. And you know what? I don't know why I eat compulsively. I don't have to know. It doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people who've been sexually abused probably don't eat compulsively. A lot of people who grew up with a compulsive overeater daddy and an undereater mama probably don't have food issues. I just do. And I learned that from the Alcoholics Anonymous big book, the main book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, that self-knowledge availed us nothing. I was in program for years, and I mean, I was in therapy for years and years and years and years and years, and I would binge, and sometimes cancel my therapy to binge. And I couldn't tell you. When I knew stuff about myself, but it didn't keep me from eating compulsively. And I worked in the food industry, of course, and I was really good at it because I thought food solved everything. And well, when I left home, I went away to college and halfway across the US, and I stole food and I stole money for food. And I always thought I was very, I had to be sweet and no one could know I never did anything wrong and stuff. And there's a lot of shame around my eating, I remember when I lived at home, I was eating compulsively and I would eat all the food in the kitchen. And my mom was a secretary. We weren't rich. And she would wake me up in the morning and say, "Why do you do that?" And I would die. Now I know I'm a compulsive overeater. That's why I do that. So the emotional part of it was his depression runs in my family, and I just felt so bad about myself when I was eating compulsively. I just thought I would call myself names and think I was the worst person ever. And r after college, I moved in with five other women because we didn't have, we were kids, and that's how much money we had. So there were six of us, and they would be downstairs giggling, and I would be upstairs thinking they were laughing at me. And I've heard it said in the program that we think we're the piece of shit the world revolves around. Forgive me if that offends anyone, but anyway, that's what I thought. And I was in I a therapist finally encouraged me to come to OA after I canceled my therapy session so I could binge, and then I binged, and then I cried and asked her if I could come. And she said, sure. And she sent me to my first OA meeting, which I told you was in a church and was a gay, lesbian. We didn't have all those letters back then. I came in the 80s. And but anyway, I'm sure the people were anyway. So anyway, I came there, and I was in a part of OA that I couldn't believe what people said, that they ate compulsively too. I was like, what? It was such a huge relief. I mean, I felt when I was eating compulsively, I felt like a desperation, like this huge emptiness inside me, and I couldn't label what I felt, but I just knew I felt desperate and I just had to eat. And so anyway, I came to OA, and I heard in OA you guys said, while we're in the meeting, the disease is out in the parking lot doing push-ups. And I found that really odd, but it has been my experience over time that disease gets worse. So when I was in OA, like I said, I came in the 80s, and I had to go to Al-Anon first for friends and families of alcoholics because I didn't know there was anyone here to be concerned about. You know what I mean? I was always concerned about, is my mom okay? Are my friends okay? Is my cat okay? Anyone but me. And after a little while in Al-Anon, I learned there was a person here. So then I came to OA, and I was in OA about 16 years, and I had 3 years of continuous abstinence. Is there anyone here who it's their first meeting? I'll share as if there is. How much time do I have left? 10 or 15?
10.
Okay, good. So if somebody doesn't know what abstinence is, my experience, strength, and hope is it really helps to have a food plan. And when I was in OA at first, I didn't understand how important it was to work the steps. I would just come to meetings and smile and try to be sweet. Sometimes I'd cry. And I didn't know how to let you guys help me. And I would get abstinent, which meant basically 3 meals a day and nothing in between. And as I recall, and we had a, I'm not going to talk very much about what my food plan was back then, because it's changed over the years. I'm old now. And but I had a lot of willingness. You guys told me that I deserve to be happy. And you guys told me there was a higher power who cared about me. I remember the desperation. I so wanted to be like the people who didn't have to eat compulsively in the program. And I would get there for a couple of days and then I'd lose it. And I remember going to OA convention and not being abstinent and wanting so bad to feel abs to be, in recovery. And what's wrong with me? And I would tell myself, and I'd feel so isolated. Isolation is a big part of my disease, hiding and eating. And I share about that because I know that Fridays we talk about relapse and recovery here. And I just wanted to talk about the pain of relapse, the pain of getting abstinent and then losing it. So like I said, in 16 years, I had 3 years of continuous abstinence, and I would have periods here and there of abstinence. And it got to the point, at a point I was living in I was living in a meditation center and going to work. I'm a social worker. Well, I was before I retired. And I would go to work and I even compulsively ate in a meditation center. You'd think if you lived in a meditation center, you would, well, I believed in a higher power, but I was just powerless. I couldn't stop it by myself. So finally, I had a friend named Padma. She's an African American woman, and she had been fat and she had lost all this weight and she seemed happy. And I said, "What'd you do?" And she had gone to a part of OA where they weigh and measure their food. And I thought, I was so desperate. I was like, I tried everything, you guys. I like put a sign in front of my kitchen. I had a little studio apartment. I put a sign in front of my kitchen with a little bear on it. The sign said, "Don't eat no matter what," because I lived alone and I thought maybe if I would just move the chair and go eat. I it didn't. So I came to a part of OA where it was more structured and that worked for me. I was at the point where I was eating out of the garbage, which before I came to OA, I didn't throw food away, so it wasn't in the garbage. To OA, I'm like, well, I'll put it in the garbage and then I won't eat it, and I would dig it out. And I was kind of not amused. It felt so embarrassing. I had a spo I got a sponsor. I find my experience, strength, and hope. I've been abstinent since 1998. When I first came to the OA that was more structured, I lost weight and boy, did I think that was fun. And I lost too much weight. And I'm a person of extremes. That's how you met me, right? I'm an addict. So I went to a nutritionist and she told me to eat more fat, and I'm a vegetarian, and she told me to eat protein and do it in the correct way. And I had a sponsor who said, "I don't know what you should weigh. Ask your doctor," which is just brilliant. That's what I say to my sponsees now. "I don't know. I'm not a doctor." And I have a food plan that works for me now. Like I can't, and the food plan I had, you eat 5 cups of vegetables a day, and I have stomach problems from all the compulsive eating I did. I used to drink. See, I'm embarrassed even talking to you about it. I used to drink 6 liters of Diet Coke a day in an effort to treat my depression, probably, or maybe because just I'm an addict. Look, I'm getting embarrassed. I have to take my jacket off. And my teeth are all yellow and enamel's all messed up from that. And my doctor said I was having stomach aches. And I went to the doctor and she said, she sent me to the specialist, the stomach specialist, who diagnosed me with irritable stomach. I could have told them that. But anyway, back to the point. My doctor said, if you don't stop drinking so much Diet Coke, you're going to get a hole in your stomach. And I said, okay, I'll stop drinking so much. So, we all have different addictions. And then, before I came to OA, my addiction was sugar. And I would eat all kinds of. I seem to be saying shit a lot today, but it's helping me tell my truth, so I'm going to say it again. But I would eat all kind of shit, even old shit, But then when I came to OA, my disease is progressive. So I couldn't eat the sugar, but I could drink 6 liters of Diet Coke a day. And my doctor said don't drink so much, so I tried drinking just one a day. But I am a compulsive eater and apparently a compulsive drinker. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stick with one a day. And so I would tell my friends, "I'm not drinking Diet Coke anymore." And then they'd see me with the Diet Coke and they'd say, "I thought you weren't drinking Diet Coke anymore." So it took me a really long time to stop. And I had terrible stomach aches. And my experience, strength, and hope is a more structured form of OA where I have a sponsor. And I have a sponsees, and I work the tools, and I work the steps. I'm a high maintenance human, Doesn't work for me to come once a week and put on my mascara and be cute, That doesn't work for me. I have to work the program every day. And I tried, and just because I don't eat sugar anymore because I cannot, if I can't eat, drink one Diet Coke a day, I certainly can't eat one little bit of, I don't have any use for one cookie. Do we mention food in this meeting? If we don't, oops, sorry, make outreach calls if I set you up. But I don't have any use for one cookie or one snack food or one little bite of something. I've never in my life said something's too rich for me. I don't even know what that would be. But anyway, so what happened is I felt so desperate before I came to the more structured part of OA. I was like, I would tell myself I'd rather cut myself than eat compulsively. And I had such a strong urge to eat compulsively. Bless my heart, I just couldn't. So when I came, when I there was more structure, I was able to show up and tell the truth. I was able to go to any lengths. I was to acknowledge to able to acknowledge myself. You're going to have a hole in your stomach. You're going to have heart disease and diabetes, like your mom, your daddy, and your grandpas on both sides, and your grandma. And they died of it. And my grandpa died of depression, which I had worse than I had the physical, I think, And my experience, strength, and hope is If I eat compulsively, I get terribly depressed. You know, and I can't afford that because I feel like dying and I don't want to. And when I'm abstinent, I feel closer to my higher power. You guys taught me I feel close. Well, my experience now is when I'm abstinent, if a higher power can keep me abstinent, a higher power can do anything, right? And it's a moment at a time. I can't tell you a week from Thursday. I can't tell you when I turn six. Okay, 5 minutes left or no minutes left. Five. I can't, you know, I pray to God every day to stay abstinent. I pray to God every day and I thank him for my abstinence, you know. One comforting thing about this program is you do not have to believe in a certain form of higher power. That's my experience, strength, and hope. My first meetings, a lot of them, we used to, before the pandemic, we met a lot of churches. Sometimes we'd meet in other religious facilities too, you know, but that, there's no one way. It says in the AA big book upon which our program is based, AA is where we came from, higher power as you understand higher power. It could be a tree, it could be Jesus, it could be Buddha, it could be your grandma, it could be some other form of God. You know, it's just so important there's something bigger than you. Because I become more convinced the longer I'm in the program, I cannot make anybody else do anything. I had time in my life where I didn't speak to my mom and for years, and working the steps over and over and over and over and over and over in Al-Anon and in this program, same steps, I reunited with my mom. And I took care of her as she was dying and made sure she had other people to take care of her too. And I was holding her when she was dying. And it really brought us together. And one motivation I had to do that is I'm a married lady now. I'm an old married lady. And I knew I couldn't maintain that relationship unless I cleaned my side of the street. And the program, my experience is when I'm abstinent, I have human emotion. I thought I would be like, there's a little picture of a sloth on the screen. I thought I'd be cute like that and never have any bad feelings, you know, never be angry. I was raised to never be angry. I should always be sweet and take care of everybody else. And my experience, strength, and hope is I have feelings if I'm not stuffing my face with food or starving myself. And I would like it, but I haven't died from having a feeling yet. You know, I think I'm going to because I'm such a delicate little gardenia southern lady from Texas, but I have not died from a feeling. And it is possible to be, I've been abstinent through my mother's terrible illness and death. I've been abstinence doing a job that is impossible. I've been abstinent when my sweet doggy died. And then another sweet doggy died. And then my mom died. Sorry, Mom, I told you about the dogs first. But anyway, my experience, strength, and hope is I work the steps, I go to meetings, I tell the truth to my sponsor, I write on the steps, I write things I don't want anyone to know in my fourth step. Then I told my sponsor about it. I remember when I was new in OA, I said to my sponsor, I want 7 years of abstinence like you. She said, how about a day? It's a day at a time. It's a day at a time. And you know, my experience is when I went to Weight Watchers, I gained about 8 pounds or something. And my little tiny itty bitty size six petite mom lost weight on Weight Watchers because she was trying to support me when I was a kid. Anyway, what am I going to wish I told you? I believed in a higher power when I was eating compulsively, but I didn't believe a higher power would care about me and my food. And it really helped in this program that God as you understand him thing, or God as you understand it, or got it. I got to make a job description for my higher power who was sweet and not punishing like the one I was raised with. So this program can work for anyone. I've done all kind of service in this program that I couldn't do, like for our inner group. I was the secretary who does the typing. I didn't know how to type. I didn't even know how to make the margins, but you guys loved me. And you said, go ahead, Suki, we'll figure it out. We can read it. And I got to go to World Service on be on the diversity committee. And I met people from all over the world. This meeting, I mean, these programs, there's people in any country you can imagine, they have OA. It's like our literature's in 35 different languages or something. There's more than 5,000 meetings around the world, so you're not alone. And my experience is my disease is out to kill me. And it will tell me, you're a piece of shit. No one loves you. You're so ugly. No one's going to love you. You're blah, 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 blah. Just one won't hurt, and it's been helpful for me to know that voice of my disease, you remember that Comet cleanser, that powdered cleanser? I tell myself that's sugar. You know what I mean? Sugar is as poison to me as that. Because I could talk myself into anything, and there's certain foods that are not food for me, just like Comet cleanser isn't food for me. So don't quit before the miracle. Know you're not alone. Work the steps. It's a we program. Like my wife always says, it's not a me program. And I heard a speaker say, it's about alcohol, but it's alcoholism, not alcoholism. In the same way, our disease doesn't go away just because I didn't rob a bakery today. I still have the disease. So that's all I have to share. And yeah, don't quit before the miracle. And don't quit after
Awesome.
the miracle either.